Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. Open Line Fun Sunday, Sicko Sunday. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Hello, everybody. It's Johnny B here. Good morning.
What's going on?
Doing okay. Got to convince my dad and my sister to, you know, all play golf together. So that'll be a nice family thing.
Could be.
Yeah, it could be. Hopefully it's not blazing hot.
Well,
gosh,
that's today, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I hope the weather holds off for you.
I hope
most of the
too.
Moisture I see on radar is out in the Gulf.
Yeah,
and that's something we need to talk about too. Is Tropical Storm Sally?
Oh yeah, it seems like there's a lot of activity going on.
She's not
going
to go away quietly. The way it's looking, it could turn into a Cat 1, and it could affect the Louisiana coast again. Like the last one, but they're not ruling us out of it yet for the Texas coast. But
yeah,
kind of looks like it's going to go in there halfway between Lake Charles and New Orleans. Who knows?
Yeah, they're in the zero fun zone this summer.
It's not good.
Yeah.
They're having a bad year. Well, their fishing was good, and this usually puts a damper on it. I guess those fish were telling, as they say, hurricane mode. That's why they were biting so good all year. Who knows? But we'll keep an eye on that for everybody. And looks like a successful till season yesterday. Everybody I know just pretty much tore them up. They whacked them pretty good. Lots of pretty duck birds, teal hanging on a stringer. Pretty nice. All right, well, let's get to it. Our sponsors today, Boyd's One Stop, Texan Roofing, McLean Trailers, and Mainstream Marketing. Galveston right now, it's 84 down on the island. Or actually 79, it feels like 84. Galveston are throwing in about a 40% chance of thunderstorms today. They could be scattered mostly. High of 89, northeast winds 10 to 20. Tonight, up it to about a 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms. Northeast winds will be 10 to 20 today, 10 to 20 tonight, and looks like north-northeast at 10 to 20 tomorrow also. So that's a good teal hunting win anyway. We'll take it. Got a few showers around late yesterday evening, but nothing significant for most of us. But it is in the realm of possibility to get some of these showers. Looks like today we're still on a two-tide schedule. We have a high this morning at the Galveston Channel at 359. It was a 1.8. And then our low is late this evening, 7:49 p.m. It's an 0.1. Sunrise this morning, 7:03 a.m. Sunset this evening, 7:26 p.m. Our moon phase is 26%. We're down to a quarter moon. Our new moon will be on the 17th. And that puts shooting time this morning in the Houston-Galveston area at 6:27 a.m. Make sure you don't go off early. Game wardens don't like that too much. It is the law. But current conditions right now at the Buoy 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. We have a north-northeast wind out there at 16, gusting 20. Barometric pressure 29.82 inches and falling. Water temp out there is 86. At Eagle Point, we have 85-degree water with a northeast wind at 14, gusting to 16. And at Morgan's Point, we have 86-degree water temp with a northeast wind at 7, gusting to 10. So that pretty much does it. That's your wind and tides and sunrise, shooting time, all that good stuff. And hope everybody has a good, safe, pleasant shoot again this morning. Looks like it's over pretty quick from what I saw yesterday. Pretty quick limits. A lot of people. Well, shooting time 7:03. I saw a lot of limits by 7:30. They were walking out of the blind, so that is kind of quick. Not much time to enjoy it, work birds in, but that's teal season. It goes quick. Regular season, we get to sit around and wait for late flights of pintails and mallards, so. Or gadwalls, whatever area you're hunting, it's all good. All right, well, let's go over to the Tri-Bay area this morning and get cranked up with old Hammer, see what he's up to this morning on a Sunday morning. Glenn Hammond, what's up, bud?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you, man?
I'm good. Good morning to you. What's going on, man?
Shoot, listen to duck reports. I'm going, oh, my Lord, already, huh?
Yeah.
Duck season.
Teal season.
I didn't hear a gunshot one, but I didn't get out there real early either.
You know, when I got home from here yesterday morning with that north wind coming out of the back of Trinity Bay, I could hear volleys back there in the marsh. That was pretty cool to hear. And that kind of cool north wind, I'm going, man, is fall really in the air? I'm ready.
Yes, sir. Hey, and I'm not much of a duck hunter, but how many of those little teal birds can you keep a
six.
Day?
Or six per person.
Six. Mm-hmm. No matter male, female, what? Just
doesn't matter.
No, shoot. I bet you a little breast and bacon wrap those son of a guns, huh?
Man, you can throw all them dove away. And no more Paloma when you got teal, baby. No Palomas.
Well, our population of seagulls are doing down here. I mean, doing good. I haven't seen very many.
Yeah, they hadn't opened the season on those yet.
we have whistling ducks, some Mexican whistlers.
Yeah, Pulvis tree duck, Mexican squealers.
Right.
They got a bunch of names.
Yeah. Pulvis tree ducks, all that. But we got a load of those son of a guns. I guess 150, 200 of them. Come over and eat corn every afternoon. And
oh, you feed them. They will come.
Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. They followed me from the last couple of places I lived, I think, because we got them all down here. But, hey, man, shoot, I was going to get out Friday morning. I had a buddy of mine, Steve Meyer, going to come down and fish with me. And I walked out after I talked to you on the radio that morning. I walked outside getting my stuff ready to head to the bait camp and, man, that northwest wind hit me, dude, and it was blowing about 18 miles an hour already.
Yeah, it kicked up.
It really did. And I called him back. I said, Steve, hey, you left the house yet? He goes, I'm loading up. I said, well let's just think about it because you know what I mean. Before you come all the way down from Sugar Land, Missouri City or whatever, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the northwest wind isn't a very big word, conducive.
It's not very good for your area.
Not very good for our area. And anyway, so we talked it out. Hey, man, I went back to bed and got some sleep. So it's all good. And let's see. Noticed yesterday coming across the Freeport Bridge there over the Intercoastal Canal, you look down towards the Brazos River. Everything else was just clean, clean as could be. And that beach started cleaning up. All you Dawn Patrol surf runners, I'm telling you, If it would lay back, we got seven miles an hour right now coming out of the northeast, gust up to 11 to 13 miles an hour right now. But that beach front was really, really looking good yesterday, Captain Mickey. I mean, not flat, but clean. You know what I mean? Just a lot cleaner. And from everybody I heard, everybody that was flying kites and they had kite competitions down here yesterday, oh, my goodness, you should see some of these you should see some of these kites that they're flying these days, man. They're bigger than an 18-wheeler.
Really?
The tail. Oh, my God. The tails are longer than an 18-wheeler, and they're giant. And this guy must be displaying them, and especially when the wind blows like it did yesterday. He had all those, I guess, five, six, seven giant, giant kites flying off of the beachfront down there yesterday. But anyway, the water's looking better. I talked to some of the bait camps, and actually they were holding a pretty good amount of live bait if you're going to come down in this area. And the prices, you're going to pay $20 a quart. You're going to pay $10 for the croakers and $5 for the mullet. I may have the little prices off a little, or the prices off a little bit, but you can get pretty much whatever you need. Some of the bait camps even hold some offshore baits like mullet and squid and menhaden, and it just you can buy a different kind of bait from them. And what we're doing right now, we're still popping corks or free line, and you know, either or, you know, we're going to go in the bay, we're going to work the oyster reefs and stuff with the popping corks with a live shrimp underneath it, or either we're going to go down by San Luis Pass and free line it, you know, mm-hmm. using a half ounce egg sinker with about a 2 foot leader, you know what I mean, and 20 pound and 20 pound test with about a 2 foot leader with either a number three and number four, number two kale hook, and that's with the croaker hook, they call them, but anyway, kale and that's about it. Let's see, as far as the bait camps and all that stuff, I'm kind of struggling this morning. I had me a few adult beverages last night, and I'm just gonna be honest with you.
At least you're honest.
I got cat scratch fever, dude. I'm looking at my page, and my cat then climbed up and took his claws to it. I'm reading a shredded up piece of mail this morning, but it's all good, man. In the hood, Surfside Beach. If you're coming down here, allow yourself some extra time and be patient. And let me talk about this. I had one of my newer customers call me from the boat ramp yesterday and asked me, look, man, there's a guy blowing his boat up in the boat ramp. He's blowing his boat up in the boat ramp. And I'm thinking, what?
You know, inflatable?
I guess so. Yes, sir.
I hope it's an inflatable.
out of three ramps, there's one that you can launch a boat out of. A couple of them are good for kite. And anyway, he pulled down. You know how it is. It's just a common courtesy. When you pull up to the boat ramp, please have your stuff in order. Have your boat already loaded.
Good luck with that, Glenn. We've been telling them that for 30 years. People don't care. They don't care.
I did say please, though. Everybody, just, man, boat ramps are for boats and not, well, I don't want to make my fan base mad at me, but I call them the Pointed Plastic Boat Patrol, and they love that anyway. But get the Pointed Plastic Boat Patrol out of the way. Have your stuff in the boat and pull it down there. Use the launch and get out of there. Let somebody else come in. It goes a long ways. A little bit of courtesy, but
last time I went fishing the ramp, I could have put my boat in, drove it back on the trailer, and pulled it out about five times before this guy could ever get his boat in the water. It was just, I've been fishing. I'm ready to get out and go, and just unreal, man. Unbelievable.
You know, you'd think you'd already seen it all in this day and time. You know what I mean? No, but okay, let's see. I'm not going to ramp and rave about anything, man. Fishing ain't that stuff. I haven't really had a good string of fish lately, but that doesn't mean we don't go after them and we don't have a whole bunch of fun. I'm open for families, and I don't want over two or three people on my boat, you know, this day and time. And you know what I mean? If it's a family, we'll accommodate. And I got a few trips coming up where I had to get in couple extra boats and this and that, so we got some things on the schedule, and things are going to look up, man. It's all good. Everybody stay safe, have a fun Sunday, and get to come down, man. Tri-Bay area is looking good. Like I said, bait camps are holding bait, and I don't want to repeat myself over and over and over, and you know,
all right, Hammer. Well,
that's it, boss.
Well, we got the show started. You kick-started it for us. We're ready to roll. So throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come over and fish with you in the Tri-Bay area.
Yes, sir. 713-208-0680 is my wife's number for booking. And if they want to call and just pick my brain for about 30 seconds, it's 713-208-0683. Captain Mickey, happy fun Sunday to everybody. Y'all have a great one, man.
We're going to do it. Glenn, take care. Have a good day. See you, man.
Yes, sir, buddy.
All right. Okay, that's the Hammer in the Tri-Bay area. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 417 in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Rockport Way, see what's up with Tony G this morning, Captain Tony Gonzalez. Tony, what's up, man?
Not much, Captain. How are you?
I'm good. It's all good.
Burning up the highway.
You are?
Yeah, I didn't fish this week, but on Thursday I got to run down to Dilley and put some cameras out and hang out with Desi, help him work on some feeders and stuff. And
yeah,
got some mud on the tires, and and I had three cameras, and then I went ahead. The bill's not down there that much right now, so I went ahead and picked up two more for some cheapies, and like I say, he was working on one of them Lamco feeders, different style feeders that throws from the inside, hits those walls, keeps those, supposed to keep the raccoons from getting in there, but they've been getting a hold of that solar panel and kind of disrupting it. And I was trying to tell Desi, I was like, what you're here like every day of the week. What do you need a solar panel on there for anyways? Like every time I put a solar panel on, they disconnect the whole thing. And now you're not feeding at all. Like you're here every day. I was like, that sucker should last you at least. I mean, a 12-volt will last you almost 2 months or more. So, you know, the toys that you play with at the lease, you know, dealing with varmints and stuff like that. And then I boogied back. That was just, I just went on them for the day on Thursday. And that was a round trip, 260 miles. And then my buddy Monty, he finished up his house. He bought that little ranch out in the Wild Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And started building a house. He bought that, or he put the bid on that property like October. The house was done right the end of July, and then, you know, slowly getting furniture and stuff. And boy, it's a nice little hunt camp that he built. Got a pretty pond in front of the house, a nice barn behind it. We can pull the buggies in right there, build us a nice cleaning station indoors with lights and ice machine and an electric winch. And he's like, I'm having a walk-in, put in right here in the corner, and I'm pretty happy for my buddy. You know, Cake always dreamed of having a little piece of property himself, and I was just laughing at him about, man, it's a long way from us sleeping on the floor in the barns in Refugio with the rats, and he's like, well, there's mice here, too. I was like, well, there's mice everywhere once you build the structure.
I don't think there's a deer camp without a mouse. That's just... You're out in the wilderness, that's part of it. Hell, it's bad enough in the city. It gets even worse out in the wilderness.
Yeah. Well, usually we do good. You know, we have the RVs or pop-up trailers, whatever we'd have in our camp, until the end of season. Then everybody stops going at the end of January or whatever.
That's when they get bad. They move in and tear everything up.
That's right. That's when they move in. And shoot, every time I would have to move that to Rockport or something from Refugio, but you know, now I keep it there year round, but I'd have to empty every single shelf, all the linens, and you know, exterminate and try to find your source. And there was one time I had a bull snake go across my foot after I moved that RV.
Oh boy.
Inside the RV, and
boy, I tore the walls out of that place.
Well, when you had, like I said, when you moved, I would move that RV from you know, at the end of April or beginning of May back then when I would guide it, just, you know, a weekender. And when you see those mice, you know, you kind of see them in the corner of your eyes, you know, they're in the barn or in the RV or whatever. And Monty had, we tore down camp that one time, and I towed his buggy, and he towed my trailer for me. He had a bigger truck back then than I did. And we tore it all apart. He's like, I got to go back. I got to get back to Houston. I just want to come for the day. And real quick, can you help me pick up this mattress? Because I'm worried about, you know, mice underneath there and stuff. So we cleared it out. He left. And I was sitting there texting people out of the corner of my eye, seeing something. And I thought it was a mice or a mouse. And it was a a rat snake or a bull snake. And, oh, man, I'm not big on snakes, Mickey. I jumped up on that couch, and it went to the door, and I had my broom and stuff from cleaning, and I was able to pry open that door. You know, those handles are on the RVs.
Yeah.
And, I shooed that sucker out. It went out, and I just moved in that RV park. First year I was there back then, and I had 10 people on me like that because I was sitting there trying to hit that snake out of the yard, at least, you know, shoot away. And everybody gathered around me. Where did that come from? Oh, I don't know. It just came across my yard. I was too embarrassed to tell people I had an RV full of mice inside it.
Probably crawled up under that RV spraying that foam everywhere trying to figure out how this sucker got into my RV. I'd be stopping up any hole I could find. But, you know, a snake's like a rat. They get their head through it. They're through. They're going in.
And I think he was like in the, you know, on those RVs, the AC's in the roof, your vents, but the heater comes out the floor vents. And I think he was in that floor. And I remember Monty was like, how are you going to sleep tonight? You know, like, oh, I'll be fine. And I could not sleep that night. But every 10 minutes, you're opening your
drunk,
eyes.
Get drunk, pass out so you can sleep. Oh, boy. Snakes in the house. That's not good.
No. So,
I remember the story my grandmother used to tell us when we were little kids. They were all cotton farmers out in West Texas and everything back in the day. And my great-grandfather came to stay with them for about a week, and they put him in this bedroom, and first night he was there, they heard all this commotion. And back then, I think, you know, they had coal oil lamps. They didn't have electricity. And every time he'd move in his bed, he'd hear a rattlesnake buzz. Well, they all get up in the middle of the night, and they got a couple of lamps in there, and they pull that mattress off of that bed. And back then, they remember the coil springs that were just under the mattress, those old kind of frames? Uh-huh. Hey, that rattlesnake is about a 5 or 6 footer coiled up in those springs. They couldn't get it out of there. So they ended up just taking the whole frame with the coil springs and all and throwing it out in the yard, and he just threw the mattress on the floor and went back to sleep. And there's no way I could have gone back to sleep after that. No. There's a big old rattlesnake in their house, man.
Not on the floor, anyways, you know.
No.
That's where that snake come from, you know.
Yeah, but he was all wrapped up in those springs underneath that mattress. I don't know about that. Especially a big rattler.
Well, I got to see two nice deer. Last year, one field called the Oasis, got a big pond in front of it, real big. I like this field because it's a real big, farthest shooting field. And when they're really rutting, they do everything they can to keep those does from hitting the tree line. So it's a big, dusty field most of the time. You know, he'll usually try to put you know, some weed or something in the ground for doves, pre-deer season or whatever. But usually when they're chasing, it's just a dust cloud. And I went in there last year when I was in there. I seen a 14-pointer that was a 7x6 with a split G2. So he had 14, but he wasn't, you know, typical. And I got real excited about him. And last year, I want to say a deer might have been a 3.5. And, you know, I gave my 14-pointer to my buddy Monty, the one who bought that little ranch out in the YO. So I've always been kind of, man, maybe I'll get another chance at a 14-pointer one of these days. And when I saw him last year, I got so excited. And I think I saw him when I set that camera. He took off running toward the corner of the field. And he was real distinctive, just where that G2 is split. And I mean, he looked like he had 15-inch tines. And I could see the split, but I couldn't count anything else. I could just see that split as he was going around the corner into the tree.
Right.
And then, you know, we have certain stands that are, you know, the good stands and stuff, or that we think that are better stands. So I put those three cameras there, and then I ended up with those extra two. So Des was like, well, go ahead and put them where you want. And he was like, I've been seeing one deer over at this with a drop over here. So I went over there to that one, and I seen him. He wasn't an older deer. He was still kind of young, I think, but he had a real nice drop sticking off his left side. And there was a bunch of deer hanging around that station, so I went ahead and put that camera there. And then Desi's going to pull my cards tomorrow. I'm supposed to go to Rockport tonight, have a back-to-back on Monday, Tuesday, but I don't know what the rain's going to do for us down there. And he was going to pull those cards, and then hopefully I'm going to boogie back here either Tuesday night or Wednesday morning, and because South Hill's open all week starting tomorrow.
Yeah, it opens tomorrow on a Monday. You know, that's – I don't understand that. I don't know why they didn't open it on a Saturday with teal season and, you know, you got your dove hunters, your teal hunters. I don't get that.
And then Desi was telling me that they canceled the catfish fry that they have all the time at Dilly Feed and Grain.
Yeah.
He was like, they canceled it. I was like, oh, did they really? He's like, yeah, with the COVID stuff still. And
I know. COVID.
Yep. And then I just seen just now on Facebook that Bandera lifted their mask restriction as of, I think, yesterday or something. So maybe some
right.
cities start opening fully up. It's just nice. You know, I don't want to be on the couch ready to get back out there. And you got to burn the highway, you know, here in Jeffcoat running around. And so I was like, okay, he's doing it. I got to get up there and set some cameras up, make some initiatives. And Bill's all happy that, you know, I went and put them cameras up. Like, good. Thank you so much. So,
yeah, Jeffcoat's right in the, you know, right in the strike zone of this Sally, depending on what, you know, that storm does.
Great.
Earlier they were saying, it's maybe a tropical storm at best. Well, now the Hurricane Center is talking Category 1 possibly, and real slow moving. It's going to dump a lot of rain, and it's going to have a pretty good surge with it because of, you know, it's moving so slow when it gets there. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one. Crazy, man. I'll be glad when this year is over with. I'm sick of it.
Me too. It just seems like, you know, everybody's in the woods right now. You know, listening
to can't blame them.
No, you know, we worked our tails off this summer trying to get everybody on the water with the COVID, and we're blessed that everybody wanted to go. But yeah, it seems like the guys are ready to hunt and stuff. And yeah, I think everybody did real good with teal yesterday, more so than they did on opener of doves. You know.
Oh yeah, it was looked like a successful opener to me. Everybody I'm affiliated with, and that's quite a few. All of them had. Easy limits, full straps, heavy straps.
Orlando did good, too. I saw he had a limit yesterday.
Oh, I didn't see him.
Uh-huh.
So
he had
a limit. That's one of the few I missed then. I don't spend a lot of time on there. I'll just thumb through it and kind of stay updated with what's happening. Tony, hang on. Let me do a quick commercial break, and I'll come back to you. Hang with me, man. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 4:33 on this Sunday morning. Let's go back and talk some more with Tony G. All right, Tony, we're back, man. Thanks for holding.
Yes, sir.
All right, where were we?
No, talking about teal. It's just, you know, Monty's little piece of property is pretty nice. You know, I've always wanted to buy a, you know, if you can afford something big, I've always said buy something, you know, like on a dry creek or something.
Yeah.
Where you have, you know, animals funneling through. And he's backed up, you know, that I guess the whole YO is like 20,000 acres. And I guess 10,000 of it is done into like small ranchettes. And then the other one's the whole piece. That's
uh-huh.
Other 10,000. And he's all the way up to that back fence of the you know, the game ranch or whatever. And the creek runs all the way through his property. Well, we you know, went for a ride in his buggy and stuff, and he was showing me that back fence, and he's like, when I bought it, put the bid, this thing was down. And the guy had told him that, oh, this creek fence had been down for about a year. He's like, so there's been a lot of animals funneling in and out of here, and that they had seen one tag doe that was running around on the property. I guess they got out the bigger piece. But he has a pond, and if you look on that, you remember I bought that GPS map to track the dogs and stuff with last year?
Uh-huh.
I was showing it to him because you're not allowed to have fences between the properties or whatever. You know, because it's free ranging. There's black bucks and stuff that walk through there. And so, you know, it's just neat that, you know, that it's on that dry creek and that the fence was opened. And he has the only pond in a couple of mile radius. So he has a bunch of animals coming in there.
Oh, yeah. I come to that water, man.
I mean, every, shoot, you know,
Got a funnel point with a dry creek, and then got a pond with water. I mean, that's good stuff.
Yeah, and he's feeding, and one of his neighbors isn't. I don't even know that either neighbor are feeding, and plenty of hogs. I mean, he was showing me the tags he had.
Oh, boy.
I mean, buck tags this year, but he had a bunch of, you know, like exotic does and stuff like that. But, I mean, there's a lot of it's a target-rich environment. There's hogs everywhere. I mean, we must have seen 30 in the 24 hours that I was there.
And
we saw a cyca and a white fallow. And then we took a ride down the main roads and stuff. And as he was saying, oh, you can drive these roads at night, Tony. Just the main road off of, you know, off of his property. You know, you can get lost out here driving all night long, and it's all private for the most part. So we went for a little drive, and the property in front of his that leads to his, he's like, the guy had both of these pieces. He sold me that back piece, and we saw a big old group of access go through there, a couple of nice bulls. And I was like, what if they're working towards your pond? He's like, they are. And then when I got home last night, he sent me pictures that whole group was there at the feeder. So it's kind of, looks like that's a nice place to hang out and have some adult beverages, a nice steak.
Oh, yeah.
To eat and
sit around the fire, tell lies.
That's it. That barn is so nice. You know, that barn, you can fit an RV in one side of it and almost make an apartment in the other side.
Man.
And it's like a metal building, whatever, and it had it all spray foam insulated. So I was like, I need this. I can rock pork. Like, you know, as a... It's an RV canopy type place, a little bit cheaper on taxes than building a house and all the insurance and stuff right there by the water.
Oh yeah,
little, you know, RV fish camp or something. But I'm looking forward to the season. We look like we have a lot to do, and good thing gas prices are down. You can burn that highway up, and you can't do it on the couch. You got to get out there,
Tony. When you hunt these ranches down there, you know, what do you wear? Snake boots, you know, if y'all quail hunt or anything?
I always like to wear a boot, even if I'm fishing out of like a office blind or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you shoot towards, I usually don't like shooting at last light because you're not going to have time to find that animal unless it's a chip shot. But every time I've ever, you know, go looking for deer in the dark in tennis shoes, you always get a thorn in you. And then down, you know, at Bill's Ranch in South Texas, you know, you got rattlesnakes the size of your legs, you know, your thigh sometimes. And that's why he doesn't like a real fast shooting gun, you know, like a, you know, you shoot like a 6.5 Swede or a 7 Mauser instead of the Magnum, or, you know, he didn't even like a 30-06, you know, he's like, cause it's such a fast round, Tony, that's going to go through them and they're going to take a breath, they're going to jump. And, you know, when that breath runs out, then they'll go down. He's like, now you're in that thick stuff. He's like, that's why he likes, you know, slower round, like a 30-30 or that 7.30 Waters that he's shooting, which is like a, you know, 30-30 cartridge with a 7mm round on it, and it's a single shot. And he's like, it's just a lot more coefficiency. He's like, that bullet hits, you might not even get the exit wound, but it should drop. And then, you know, that takes away your having to go into the woods. But yeah, South Texas, definitely wear snake boots, or I wear those little chaps that you put around your ankles.
Yeah.
And just even in the hill country, you know, like Monty was saying, no, you got to have some kind of boots. He's like, you'll kick a cedar stump that you chop down and it'll go right through the side of your shoe.
Oh yeah.
And the day you don't wear boots is the day you're going to shoot. It will happen, you know, you owe it to that animal to, you know, to find him. So those tools have their purpose, you know, and I do recommend that you wear them. And I pick on the younger guys that I hang out with. Like, yo, you start dating a girl, they're like, what? I was like, always look at her shoe collection. I'm like, why? They're like, look for snake boots. If she has snake boots, that one's a keeper. And they start laughing. Like, that's a good one. Like, James Starr, Daddy, or Grandpa has a ranch. So you definitely want to hook up with that girl. And they start laughing.
Yeah. I wear the Justin snake boot. That's a real good one. I've had that pair for, 10 years now?
I'm kind of
held up really good.
I'm partial to that soft white sole that's more for walking on concrete, but they don't have real big traction on the bottom, so you're always able to go in and out of the ranch houses. When you have something with a lot of traction on them, you know, like mud tires, you got
to
take
them. Well, they hold so much stuff, Once I get back to the ranch house, I'll slip them off and put on a pair of Sperry's or something. That's what I like about Sperry's. You can't slip in them. They grip real good, but they don't hold all that sand and dirt track in and out.
Right, because they're flat on the bottom.
Yeah, you just slide those on after you get in from hunting, and you're not tracking everything up. But all right, cool.
I had got that from working on pools, you work on these fancy houses back then. Come on, get a check, and then you have your boots on, and I was able, I was able to clean them, come inside. It's a softer sole, but they don't hide real well when you're turkey hunting because they can see that big white sole on the bottom when you're sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's time to go through a lot of batteries, a lot of memory cards. I went through 3 from last year, and I must have went through 750 picks, and that took me a long time, 5-6 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have five cards out there, and that's, they'll probably pick up about 300 photos each one at least. And your eyes start playing tricks on you and you're sitting there going through all those pictures. And then it's hard to delete them. And the only way you can, pretty much clean that car is just delete all of them. So you got to go through all of them, try to send those pictures to Bill or to Monty or whoever that's interested in those deer. Delete those pictures, start over. And every camera has a little different programming. You got to make sure they're right. They won't activate. All the little toys, that's the part of it. And
that's what I did the other day. I went through all my rifles and put all new batteries in the scopes, the ones with the lit reticles and all that. I replaced all of them, my rangefinder. I did all of it.
Well, see, that's what Desi's having problems with the times and stuff. And I thought, Desi, it's a different battery. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I have other battery. That's the watch battery. I like the little watch battery, or that's for your clock. And then your 12-volt or 6-volt, that's for your feeder spinner. Oh, okay. So he was,
Got you. All right, Tony. Well, hey, man, it's good talking to you this morning, and good luck next week. Hopefully, I think down your way you'll be all right rain-wise for Monday and Tuesday. So.
Okay, cool.
All right, bud. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you about going fishing or hunting, give them a number, man.
Sure. You can reach me at 210-846-5083, or you can go online to CaptainTGIF.com, abbreviate Captain.
You got it. Tony, always a pleasure, man. Have a great Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Hammer.
All right, bud. See you, man. All right, that's Captain Tony G down in Rockport. Now let's go to Freeport and talk to Captain Jeff Naylor. I just call him Naylor. Jeff, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Cap Mick?
Not a lot, brother.
Man, just, we had geared up to go this morning, and we opted out of it late last night. So,
what else is new?
Yeah. We started out, Sharky and I, Friday, trucking out there and northeast wind. It's kind of tricky. Sometimes you can go out there and try it and it's not bad. And sometimes it's just terrible. And, man, I chickened out on Friday, about 40 miles out. So, it ended up going yesterday. I went ahead and, Friday, I think it was just humming a little too hard from the north, more east than north a little bit, and really makes it start white capping really nasty, and so we backed off of it and went and caught some other stuff a little closer in. But yesterday I went ahead and plunged it out there and gave it a shot. It wasn't as bad, but it was definitely hairy a little bit. Ended up getting what we needed, the AJs.
Getting what we needed. There you go. Oh, man. Sound like plug. Yeah, Mick, we got what we needed.
That's it. Hey, man, we hit the bucket list, got everything on the list, and, we got some goodies to go with it, some mangrove snapper and stuff like that. But yeah, it's been an interesting couple days, I tell you, and especially with the the forecast, you know, 4 or 5 days before this, you know, 1 to 2s, we're getting excited. Everybody's getting jazzed up. Of course, the day of, you know, you look for the next day forecast and it's showing, you know, 3 to 4.
Oh, I know it. It changes on the hour, man.
It's killer. It's killer. And you try to explain that to the customers, you know, look, I'm telling you, it's going to be terrible. Well, you know, it's been 2 days ago. It was supposed to be beautiful. But,
woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah, no kidding. But we did what we needed to do. You know, we went out there with Sharky to test out his new Monster Series Castaway rods. And, man, I'm impressed with those things. I really am. Those are really, really nice rods. And with Castaway, of course, it's a lifetime warranty. And, shoot, you know, we went out there. Like, I do any kind of rods when I test them. I mean, I bunched them in a bunch. Dragged them out of the truck, threw them in the boat. You know, I gave them about the quickest, you know, routine I could give them just to see how they would work. And, man, they did really, really well. And I think those are going to be some hot items here coming up. But no blackfin. We tried. That was what we were chasing last time was blackfin. I went out yesterday, same thing. Hit all the shrimp boats out of Freeport. Me and one other charter boat, we ended up between both of us maybe 3 mahi, 4 mahi, something like that. So it was really, really slow for the shrimp boat yesterday. I'd preached about last weekend. We did really well on blackfin down south at the weather buoy, basically off Sargent. So not sure what happened there. The water clarity was a little off too. I don't know what that was about either. Good blue water, just not real clear water. It was, you know, really dark blue. But at any rate, we got some more trips coming up. If that rain will leave us alone, and maybe that tropical storm kind of go around us or not give us too much trouble.
Yeah, certainly it looks like it's got its target set for kind of in between, you know, close to Venice, you know, in that area. So,
right.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, give Lake Charles a break for a little while. And hopefully it doesn't end up in something really bad.
Oh, I know. They're talking Category 1 now, so we'll see.
Well, shoot. Yeah, of course, that would keep us probably out of the running for some offshore trips for a little while anyway, just with all the storms and stuff that's going to pop up out of it. But, you know, we got deep water trips coming up, and you know, this fall season, some of my favorite time. It's normally our swordfish and deep drop type seasons. Had some guys go out last Sunday, Monday to the tuna grounds. Didn't get any tuna, zero tuna, which was odd. Caught 2 blue marlin. There was actually, you know what, last weekend was fairly good for a blue marlin. We had I think I talked to 3 or 4 big boats. I think 3 of the 4 caught 3. The other one just caught 2. And then my buddy down here at the marina, they ended up catching 2 on a center console, or 1 for 2, I'm sorry. So, yeah, apparently it's still hot out there, you know. I'd say Boom Bang Nance is always a good stop, you know, before you blast out to something further than that. Water temps seem to be doing really well, in that altimetry is looking not stellar, but better than it has been the last couple months out there off Freeport. So we hit some mahis too. Sharky and I did on Friday behind his you know, square grouper, I guess, and so they're floating around out there too. That was kind of inshore. That was probably about 25 miles out when we hit that thing. But hit a few things yesterday with nothing underneath it. So it might have been just kind of a fluke deal that we found that little school of them. But, you know, that's how it goes sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And folks that go out there on that northeast wind, and my customers tell me every time, as soon as I hit that jetty and it's flat, boy, they start high-fiving and stuff. I'm like, don't. Hang tight, because in about 6 or 7 miles, you're going to find out that that north wind is not nice. And
no.
You know, there's a lot of folks that were blasting out yesterday behind me. And, you know.
Turn it around.
Oh, yeah.
Turn around,
yeah.
Don't drown.
I left them all about.
That applies for the seas, too, not just Houston city streets. Turn around, don't drown, man.
That's it. Boy, I tell you, you end up in a real bind out there, you know, especially if it's north wind and then it all of a sudden turns hard east. It can build and get nasty really, really fast. And,
hey, man, going down in the Gulf of Mexico, way offshore, that would that's my worst nightmare. That would probably be the worst experience of somebody's life.
It's tough.
Going down in the boat
tough.
Out there in old Mother Guff.
I'm telling you. And the bad part about it, when you go out there or something like that, there's not too many boats out there with you. You know what I mean? That,
no.
Now, this time of year, you got shrimp boats and stuff, which you can normally pick a shrimp boat up off the on the radio or something like that. Hopefully they all speak English. But, you know, you got a little bit of help out there, but not a bunch. I mean, in my boat, you know, it's a 36 contender, and it doesn't have a step hole in the back. And believe it or not, that thing just plows through anything. If I bury those trim tabs, bury that trim down on the motors and stuff, I can go about 19 miles an hour and just eat through about anything. And so it doesn't make me as nervous, but, you know, I tell you, boats tend to want to try to dive on days like that, And people who think that they got this unsinkable boat can sure do it, you know, with that kind of sea. And, you know, but you just got to be cautious and careful in what you do. And by all means, and I tell everybody this whenever, you know, they're kind of getting started or whatever, if you go out there and that wind turns hard east and you turn back towards home, let's say Freeport, and it's just 6-footers dead into them, peak, white cap. Don't be afraid to kick that, you know, go a little bit left, you know, go into a Sergeant port or go to a Matagorda port, something where you get more of a quarter on that wave, you know, and be safer on the ride. It's going to take a long time to get there, but you know what? You get there safe, you know, and that's
safety first. Yeah, it's a lot calmer than that intercoastal coming back.
You bet. You bet. It
always.
Absolutely is. So, but yeah, that's what we got going. The king fishing was a little off this weekend, which is kind of typical. They're pretty touchy to weather. And my opinion is, I think their bite goes on and off a lot with the barometric pressure. So you get those big storms that come through and the pressure gets a little higher and then drops real low and it can turn on or turn off. And so it was kind of slow this weekend. You know, Sharky, now we stuck a big one right as soon as we got to the kingfish spot and couldn't get him in. Ran, screened a bunch of line out, but couldn't get him in. And went back yesterday. I think we ended up with 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
And they were decent. You know, I was marking them, but you just couldn't. They weren't one.
Couldn't get them roll, yeah.
Nah, couldn't get them working. But, you know, that's kind of how it is. Not right this time of the year anyways, too. They kind of move in and out and doing a thing. But other than that, you know, blackfin tuna, I think, surely will turn on at some point. You know, I think yesterday was kind of a fluke, and shrimp boats are still out there. I was marking several. I probably marked 7 or 8 of them off of Freeport, and I marked about 4 or 5 of them off of down by the weather buoy and a couple near Galveston area.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, cool, Jeff. If somebody wants to get hooked up with you and come to Freeport and go out with you, give them some info, man.
You bet, brother. Call me anytime at 979-417-1013, or you go to our website at stsladventures.com. That's short for South Texas Salt Life Adventures. And call me if you need anything.
You got it, my friend. Jeff, always a pleasure. Have a good Sunday, and I'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Awesome, brother. Thank you, Captain Mick.
All right. See you, man. All right. Take care. All right. That's Nalum Naylor, Captain Jeff Naylor out of Freeport. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.